Breaking Soul Ties with Shaladio. On this broadcast, Shaladio teaches God's word on soul ties and other relationship issues affecting the believer. Listen and be blessed.
Hi there. Welcome to the program. My name is Shola Adio. Welcome to episode 39 of our series on how to believe God for a spouse. In this series, I am sharing fundamental spiritual principles that will help single men and women to believe God for a spouse and to also find their spouse. I'll be sharing core principles of confessions, faith, hope, the seed principle, prayer, discernment, and so on. This series will apply to both men and women. I also want to say today that this series would apply to any area of your life, actually, in which you are believing God for something, or you are believing God for a transformation, or a miracle, or a visitation. So it not only has to do with believing God for a spouse, but any other aspect of your spiritual life where you desire a change or a transformation. I want to share this prayer with you before we start. Please make this a daily prayer. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 17 and 18. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now that in the name of Jesus, you will grant unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of your word, so that we might be able to see the wondrous things out of thy law in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to start by saying a happy new year to you. This is my first broadcast of in 2016. And I see a glorious year ahead of us, a year filled with quantum leaps for every single one of us in the name of Jesus Christ. This year is going to be an interesting year for Soul Ties, for the Soul Ties outreach. We're looking to reach out to three cities, a minimum of three cities in Nigeria in 2016. We're looking at Port Harcourt, Abuja, and Lagos. And also, I had a word with my dear brother in Nigeria yesterday, and he's also strongly rooting that we put Ibadan on that list as well. So he's actually going to be working very hard to get us a place in Ibadan as well. So we're definitely stretching out. We're stretching out by faith. It's going to be by the faith of God and by the grace of God. We're reaching out to Port Harcourt, Abuja, Lagos, and Ibadan in 2016. Now we're going to start with the message for today. And this is going to span over the next couple of weeks. And it's a message about the kingdom of God. And it's going to be very interesting. I'll be sharing principles of the kingdom and principles of that are tied to the parable of the sower. Essentially, I'll be looking into what we call the Rosetta Stone of Christianity. That's the core of Christianity. That's, you know, there are some principles, there are some things that when you understand them, then you understand how an entire system is driven. That's the core principle of Christianity. The core engine of Christianity is what we're going to be sharing on over the next couple of weeks. So we're going to start with Matthew chapter 6. We'll start reading from verses 31 and 32. Now, you see, the thought that really, you know, drove me into this study was, you know, approaching 2016. I mean, so many things have happened in 2015, so many twists and turns for several people. And then you're going into 2016 and you discover that a lot of people are not really that concerned about how they achieve or get or receive what they want to receive or achieve, but they're only concerned that it happens, but they're not concerned with how, that what, how do I go about it, and what are the limits and the boundaries imposed on me by the fact that I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God as to what I can do to get things done. I'll give you an example. For instance, many people have declared that in the year 2016, I'm finding my spouse and I'm getting married. That is a great confession to make. That is a great declaration to make. But then the question is, how are you going about this? And are there any restrictions or are there any rules as to what you could be doing or what you should not be doing to get this done? So I'll give an example. Now that you've made this declaration, some people have vowed that, oh, if they find somebody's boyfriend somewhere and, you know, this so-called boyfriend is up for a discussion, they will gladly snatch him. Now, and then start a relationship and get married. In fact, some people even went as far as tweeting on social networks, some celebrities who snatched people's husband that way and got married to them and used them and said, oh, even up till today, they are still married. Okay, fair enough. But the issue here is that we are citizens of the kingdom of God. There is a way in which God expects us to do something, to do things, not exactly the way everyone else does it, because God has called us into the manifestation of the Spirit, not a manipulation of the flesh. Manipulation, manifestation, they sound similar, but they are not the same. Manifestation means that it is born of the Spirit. Manipulation means that you used your fingers to manipulate and to twist things using crooked and underhanded methods. So now in Christianity, are we allowed to use crooked and underhanded methods to bring about a result? That's what we want to look at. I mean, I hear stuff like everyone helps those who help themselves. And this statement is actually not in the scripture, is not supported by scripture, because it is being used by people who want to resort to crooked and underhanded methods to justify their actions. No, but the truth of the matter is that there is a way, there is a system by which we operate in the kingdom of God. And one of the reasons why people go out to use these crooked and underhanded methods is because they've not really been taught or they've not really learned how the system of God operates and how the system of the kingdom of God operates. And we're going to see from the scriptures that the kingdom of God is such a beautiful system, is such a great system, is such a system that works exactly, is such a system that cannot be overcome by the world's system, that you are far better off hooking up with the kingdom of God system than operating in the world system as a believer. So it's very important for us to note that the kingdom of God system is not an inferior system to the world's system. We are not inferior to the world. Our system is not inferior to the world's system. Our system is great. The kingdom of God system is great. Even Jesus operated by the kingdom of God system. Not only did he operate in it, he taught about it, he left it behind for us, and we are expected to operate in the kingdom of God's system. Now, I'm going to start reading the scriptures now from Matthew chapter 6, because we're going to ease ourselves into the kingdom of God system. There are so many aspects of the kingdom of God, but we're going to be focusing over the next couple of weeks on the seed principle within the kingdom of God. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 6 and start reading from verse 31. Now, this was Jesus speaking. He said, "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. So we see here from the scriptures. Now Jesus is saying that take no thought, as in, you know, don't worry, as in, you know, like, don't worry about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink and all the rest. That don't worry about those things. And that God knows, your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. Now, let's break this down a little bit. He says, therefore, take no thought, saying. So, most times what happens is that you take a thought and then you say. So, we see that thoughts lead to words. So, the system actually starts from your thought system. What are you thinking? So, you are thinking that this year now, I need to marry and I don't know anybody. So, you are taking that thought and just say, the year started though and I don't know anybody. Now, you've taken a thought and you said it. And Jesus, on this occasion, was now referring to the thoughts of what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed. So, here we see that we're talking about the thoughts of our earthly concerns. So, we are concerned about many things on the earth today. Now, of course, the key ones are what shall we eat, what shall we drink, and what shall we be clothed with. Now, for many of us, if we have settled the question of what we will eat, what we will drink, then and what we will also wear as well, we're now looking at the question of who are we going to marry, or where are we going to live, you know, and so many other things lined up in sequence after those first three things. Of course, those first three things are the basic things, but there are still many more things lined up after those three things that we take thought about and we talk about. And then Jesus went on to say in verse 32, he says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Now, first thing is that all the Gentiles, they seek after these things. They also desire these things. So we've drawn a line here, which is that we all desire these things, whether you are Christian or not. We all desire these things, whether we're Christians or not. But Jesus then went on to say that your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. So what Jesus is saying here is that God is fully aware that we also need these things. I'll see you guys after the break as we continue with this. Bye.
Welcome back to the second part of this episode of Breaking Soul Ties with Shola Adio. Listen and be blessed.
Welcome back. Now we stopped at reading Matthew 6, 31 and 32. Now we're going to go ahead to read Matthew 6, 33 and 34. He says, but seek ye first. So you see, at verse 32, where did we stop? We stopped at Jesus saying that he was very much aware that God, our Heavenly Father, was very much aware that we also needed those things. Now, you know what that means? It means that God is aware of the concerns that you have. And those concerns are the same concerns that the Gentiles have about those things. Which is, okay, let's give an example. You don't have a job. You are very concerned about it. The Gentile is also very concerned about it. And God is saying that, almost like Jesus said, that your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. It means that your heavenly Father is aware of your concerns about these things. Now, I saw something interesting on social media, you know, yesterday. And you see, this is one of the This is one of the subtle areas in which unbelievers, you know, try to discredit God and discredit Christianity when you decide that you want to, like, you want to seek God or you want to, you know, serve God, you know, with your life. Now, this was what I saw. He said, one person wrote, he said he gets amused when he sees people saying that they are only pursuing God and God alone. He said, pursue God alone and let's see who is going to pay your rent. Now, essentially what the guy is saying is that if you decide that you want to pursue God and that you want to serve God, you're going to leave your finances in tatters and that everything else about your life is going to fall apart. Now, that is not true and that is false. And not only is it false, it's a lie, and it's actually designed, you know, it's actually designed to discourage Christians, you know, and plant doubt in the minds of Christians about pursuing the things of God. Now, to counter that, what did Jesus say? Matthew 6:33. He says, but seek ye first. Now, in the other verse, he says that the Gentiles also seek these things that you are also seeking, and your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. So it means that God is aware of how important you deem those things. But God is now saying here, Jesus is now giving us our own way out, our own solution in the kingdom. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So what Jesus is saying here is that you ought to seek first the kingdom of God. What does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God? What it means is that you are seeking the kingdom of God as a matter of priority. So it's like, if I have two things, now what does it mean to seek first something? What it means is this. Let's say that I have $10, for instance, and a pair of shoes cost $10, for example, and a shirt costs $10, and I have only $10 today. There's a possibility that I can have more tomorrow, but for today, I have only $10. And then I arrive at the store. Pair of shoes, $10. A shirt, $10. Now I have to make a decision. Which one am I going to buy today with the $10? Is it the pair of shoes or is it the shirt? Then what happens is I now set up what I call a priority system. In my priority system, I have the one that comes first, the one I consider most important. So if I consider the shirt most important, then it means that on my priority list, the shirt is number one and the pair of shoes is number two. So with my $10, I would walk up to the aisle that has the shirt, pick up the shirt and go pay for the shirt, knowing that the next $10 that comes in tomorrow, I'm coming back for the pair of shoes. That is what it means to seek first. So with my $10, I am seeking first the shirt before the pair of shoes. You understand? Because there is a priority system and I am seeking first. I am arranging the shirt as my number one priority before the pair of shoes. So what does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness? What it means is that despite all these pressing needs around us, this is Jesus telling us. Now, if Jesus said I should do something, then I should do it. You know why? Because the Bible says that whoever hears and does what he says is like one who built his foundation on the rock. So if you want to prosper and if you want to build a house whose foundation is on the rock that will not be swept away by the wind and the rain, then you need to hear what Jesus has said and do what Jesus has said. Now, what did Jesus say? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. So what Jesus is saying is that with our resources, time, effort, finances, everything. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. Did you see that? So our assignment in the kingdom of God is to seek first. Now, seek first means that we are putting the kingdom of God as number one priority over those things. Nowhere did Jesus said that those things that the Gentiles seek for, we should discard those desires. Jesus never said that. All Jesus said is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And he said that, and all these things, what things? The things that you desire, the things that the Gentiles seek for. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? Who shall I marry? What job shall I do? What business shall I get? All those things, the Bible says, shall be added unto you. Shall be added, not shall be manipulated by yourself. Shall be added unto you. So God will supernaturally add these things unto you as you seek first the kingdom of God. For me, this does it for 2016. I am going to seek first the kingdom of God and see all these things added unto me. So let's take this confession together. Lord, I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things that I desire in 2016, what I shall eat, what I shall drink, what I shall wear, who I shall marry, where I shall walk, what business I shall do, what finances shall come, shall be supernaturally added unto me in the name of Jesus Christ. Then let's read verse 34. He says, take therefore no thought for the morrow. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So we see here that Jesus is asking us that we should not be overly concerned about how these things will manifest and be depressed about the fact that these things have not been manifested. But what he has left us with is that we should actively seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Righteousness means his right way of doing things. So we're going to seek first the kingdom of God and God's way of doing things. And all those things which the Gentiles seek for, which we also desire, shall be added unto us. I just want to say in closing that Christians have been caught up in the same frenzy and rat race and schemings with the world by ignoring the words of Jesus. And you see, you now find Christians worrying on the same frequency with the world simply because they have ignored the words of Jesus. Christians now wonder if their future dreams and goals can be realized because they have taken their eyes off Matthew 6, 33, 34. But you see, if we pay attention to the words of Christ and we hear them and we do them, we will build on solid ground. Jesus said we should put the kingdom of God first before our desires. And for me, in Matthew 6, 33 and 34, we find the formula for success in 2016, which is that we must seek first the kingdom of God. And you see, we cannot possibly ignore the words of Jesus and go with the world's fashionable flow and expect God's outcome. And I see that happening today. In fact, you now discover that the word of God is now becoming out of fashion, and you even find Christians, professing Christians on social media, trying to make the word of God go out of fashion. And you know, it's like the way they go about it is that they pick the things that they find very convenient, and the things that they don't find convenient, they make them look You know, they make them go out of fashion.